close your eyes for a second. I'm going to close mine. Father, we come to you this morning. We come and we worship you. We come and we praise you. We come and we give you thanks for this incredible love that you have and this incredible word that you have given to us. We thank you for your word today, and I thank you, Father, that you will bring it to life. It will reveal things in our life that we've been desiring. It'll just blast out things that need to move aside, and you'll show us your greatness today through your word. And y'all are people of faith, and you believe it, so you say, amen. All right. Everybody say, I love you, Pastor D. Carol, I am hot. You got to put that AC on. I cannot take anything else off. Okay. So, I try to wear the lightest things here. Is it hot? Thank you. Okay, now, if you're cold, over here are the ducts, the air ducts that shoot the air. You have to sit in the middle. If you're a cold person, you sit in the middle. If you're a hot person, you sit over there. And if you're me, I'm just going to go, oh, my God. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Sitting there thinking, huh. I'm so sorry, this life. Hey, we've been doing a series, and we're talking about faith. And faith is this enormous topic. Wouldn't you agree? It's just big. It's the beginning and the end. It's just big. But we're kind of trying to narrow it down. And we've been looking at Hebrews chapter. All right, for all of those that just forgot. We've been looking at Hebrews chapter 11. And we've been looking at these guys who are Old Testament guys and girls too, Old Testament that are written in the New Testament, and they're called heroes, Bible heroes. So we're looking at their lives, not all of them, although I am real tempted just to, you know, keep going, but we'll see. All right. So, but we're looking at these people in Hebrews chapter 11 that walked by faith. Everybody say, walk by faith. Yep. Now, the crazy thing, amazing thing, when you start digging into their lives, you found out, one, they were ordinary people who did extraordinary things of faith. Now, you might be saying, well, Pastor, you know, I'm kind of an ordinary person, but I don't feel like I have extraordinary faith. Wrong. Because when we started looking at these guys, and this is our third week, we started looking at them, we found out they're all human, okay, and they all made mistakes. Some of them big, bad ones, you know, on your list of top 10 things your mom said you should never do. These guys did it. They made mistakes. But the incredible thing is that God still used them. God still used them. And I'm telling you, God still wants to use you because you are extraordinary in my book, because I tell about you. All right. So we're going to talk about faith. If you're writing down, taking notes, write this down. Faith is simply putting your belief system in God. Faith is simply putting your trust in him. That's simple. Faith is putting your trust in him. And believing, second part, believing what he said is true and that it'll come to pass. Believing that what he said is true, and it's going to come to pass. It's just simple faith definition. So today we're going to talk about my guy, Noah. Noah, everybody knows, God asked him to build this big ark boat, right? All right, so we're going to talk about Noah. And everybody know the story of Noah? Who doesn't know the story of Noah? Good, okay, so you're on the, we don't have to do all those scriptures today. All right, now, so everybody's heard about Noah, but how many of you here are sort of like me in your life, that there were times that you felt like God put something in your heart, asked you to do something? Anybody like that? God has put some things in your heart, and he's asked you to do some things, and you definitely knew that it was going to be a step of faith, a big step of faith. Anybody? Yeah, okay. And matter of fact, I knew that it wasn't going to be me, it was going to be God. So today, I believe there are people here, a lot of y'all here, you all are here, that God's put things in your heart. God's talk to you, drop things in your heart, and you still have not accomplished it. Okay? But I want to encourage you today. This message is going to encourage you because I know, see, some of you I hang out with, I get to talk with, so I sort of know your stuff. And there's a lot of you that I don't. But by the Spirit of God, I will say, I want to encourage you. God has placed things in your heart. All right? And He wants to bring them to pass. And it will take that faith definition, believing that what He said is true, and He will bring it to pass. So, now the interesting thing is, we have a part to play, and God has a part to play, all right? God has put things in your heart, and we have a part to play on the believing side. By the way, Mrs. Siegel, welcome back. Way too long. I've been waiting to see it. Diane took off for 2 months to be in poor, sunny California, San Diego, you know. 3 months, yeah. I missed you. 3 and a half, and who's counting? Okay, real side hook. How bad was the house when you got back? How bad was your house when you...
I think he had somebody...
Go Dave Siegel! Now, the last 2 weeks, I've been on him. Dave, Diane's coming back. You better get it together. Dave, Diane's coming back. And he scooted out of here. What was that? What day? That day before. Yeah. Okay. Okay, get back on track. Where am I? Here are my notes. All right. If God has placed things in your heart, He desires, and you should desire, and He desires for them to come to pass. Now, you have a part to play. He has even a bigger part to play. But it takes both. Okay? It takes both. And you can't just dump it all on God. You have a part to play. So we're going to talk about what's our part? What's God's part? All right? And I want to tell you, I say this all the time. God, you've got greatness for YCF. You've got greatness for Scott. You've got greatness for Billy. I just, when I see your face, I say that. And God, you get to pull it off, okay? So, anyway. Now, how many of you, though, after saying all of that, God's placed things in your heart, and you took that step. How many of God had placed things in your heart? You stepped out. You did what you felt you were supposed to do. And it sort of flopped. It just didn't come out the way you wanted. All right? It didn't work out the way you wanted. Anybody have a couple of those? We used to call that the storage room downstairs. We just would store all those things that didn't quite work out the way we thought. And we bought 5,000 of them. All right? Joanne knows she's been in that storage room. Okay. Now, so you've heard from God. He put things in your heart, and yet they didn't come to pass. Okay. Now, I want to give you some examples of people just like that, that are not in the Bible. Okay. And they had a ton of failures, and yet, at the end, they accomplished some big things. All right. Number one, anybody here of Winston Churchill? Okay, this is Google trivia facts. Number one, did you know that he failed the sixth grade? Okay, don't feel so bad, right? All right. He was also defeated in every public office he ran for. How about that? But then he became the Prime Minister of England. Okay. At the age, now some of you that give this ridiculous excuse to me, at the age of 62, he was made prime minister. How about that for accomplishing something? All right. How about this one? Anybody know Thomas Edison? All right. Thomas Edison. His teacher said he was too stupid to learn anything. Aren't you glad we don't have teachers like that in our schools, right? Right. Okay. And then he had invented over 1,000 light bulbs. He made, invented, did his 1,000 light bulbs, and every one of those didn't work. Until the 1,000th one, whatever, you know. And now everybody knows Edison, right? Okay, he accomplished some things. This guy, you'll laugh. Guy named Walt Disney. Anybody know of him? All right. He was, at one time, an editor at a newspaper. And he got fired because they said, you have a lack of imagination and good ideas. And on top of that, he had a whole several bunch of business deals that failed. Okay? But we all know him now, don't we? We know him now. All right. How about last one? Albert Einstein. It was said that he didn't speak till he was 4 years old. 4 years old. All right. And he didn't start reading till he was over 7 years old. And his teachers labeled him slow and mentally handicapped. The guy just learned a different way. The guy just learned a different way, all right? Later on in life, he won the Nobel Prize for Physics. High five, how's that? All right? Okay, yet, what did they say? He was slow, mentally handicapped, and not able to learn. Okay. Probably somebody might have said some of those things over your life at a time, all right? And maybe you've been told you can't. Anybody been told you can't? I actually had my college professor, my junior year, tell me I was not college material. Now, I wasn't born again, and I was cheating my, you know what, trying to get through. I was just pitiful, but I do enjoy partying, and that's really what she was saying. But you know what? I did one of these. They say if you put your hands on your hips like this and walk around, that means you've got confidence and authority. So I'm practicing this. You watch this. Last Sherry read this to me, Googled it. And so, you know, I usually get one up here. But I say, so I said to her, no, I can't tell you. Anyway, she told me you can't. And you listen, your can't will never affect you until you say you can't. My dad, John Gagan, I believe he met the Lord real close to going under those gates, okay? Did not read a Bible and lived a rough life during the wartime in Brooklyn on the docks. Just, you know, every once in a while I hear some of these stories, I'm going, that's my dad? That's not good. But he never allowed, he had six kids, or six of us, he never allowed us to say, I can't. If you wanted to get him ticked and come after you. So he would say, you're not allowed to say, I can't. You can say, I need help. This is a man who didn't know Jesus. He knew a Bible principle. And listen, what's the Bible principle? With God, nothing's impossible, right? I was like, man, okay. Now, there's a lot of Christians running around and they say things like this. Oh, I just don't have big enough faith to do that, Pastor D. Okay? To do something great for God. I don't have that kind of faith. Okay. Turn over to Luke 17. I'm not quite sure where it is. I think I got to find it. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Okay, Luke 17. It's a mulberry tree. Help me find what verse that is. I didn't write it down. It's 20. All right, you find it. I'll read it. 9:6. Yeah, I got you. Beat you. Luke 17:6. If you have faith as a mustard seed. If you have faith, and we learned last week, you know, I got slapped with a label that says I have the faith of God. He's given everybody the faith of God. So if you have faith as a little itty bitty seed, it says you can say to that mulberry tree, you can say, pluck up, move, remove, and it will obey. Right? Is that what yours says? I'll read it to you. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. All right? So some of you need to understand the kind of faith that God wants you to operate comes out of your mouth. It's not that hard. The kind of faith God wants you to operate is to come out of your mouth for situations, circumstances, and things. And the thing that needs to come out of your mouth, not too hard, it's the things that God says about your circumstances, your situations, and the things and stuff. All right? Amen. Thank you. All right. So these things are going to obey because you say what God says. All right. I said all that to say is we're getting back to Noah. All right. Noah. God asked Noah to do something really big. Wouldn't you think? I think it's big. God asked Noah to do something really big, and he asked him at the age of 580 years old. Okay. Now, I have these three commentaries. One said 480. I like the big number, so I just gave up trying to figure out who's right and right or not. But 580, give or take, all right? Now, listen, 580 years old. And now that is because the earth had been cursed and was kind of new on the earth, okay? And some of those guys were living to over 900 years old. Anybody read about them? They lived to be 900 years old. It almost sounds like a fairy tale. 900 years old, but it's still true, okay? So Noah was 580 years old, and God said, I want you to build this huge boat, number one. And then, you know, little kids always go, why, Daddy? Why, Mommy? Why? Because it's going to rain. So God told him what to do. He told him why he wanted to do it. Now, the crazy thing is it had never rained on the earth yet. Never. Everybody say never. It never rained on the earth. And God told him, I want you to build a huge boat because it's going to rain. All right? Now, it took 120 years before the rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. Okay? You know the song. All right. It took 120 years before the rains actually came. All right? Now, but listen, we're talking about a guy, an old guy. I don't care if that's, they live to be 100, or 1,000. That's still old. You got this old guy, and he said, I want you to build a boat because it's going to rain. Now, I had so much fun looking this up, so I don't get it, goof up on here. Now, why would God tell Noah 120 years before the rains came down and the floods came up, all right? Why would he tell them? Well, number one, they didn't have Lowe's and Home Depot. Number two, they didn't have power tools. And it said in one of my little diggings, and I just had so much fun, I'd be yelling at Sherry, 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 listen to this. Okay, so everybody, listen to this. It says it took 20 years for him to gather all the stuff. And then it took him 100 years to do it. All right? So, but still, okay, this huge boat, God said, I want you to build me this huge boat because it's going to rain. The huge boat was 450 feet long. That is one football field long and a half. Now, occasionally I get inspired to run around the track at the football field. And, you know, it's just, that's big. All right, you ever stand at the end of a football field and look from here to here? Well, add a half of one. All right, so 450 feet, a football field and a half plus 45 feet, what did I go? High, 75 feet wide, 450 long. And God says, I want you to build this boat because it's going to rain. Now, what has God asked you to do? Oh, Pastor D, leave me alone. I'm coming to church. No, listen. What has God asked you to do? What has God put in your heart? He's spoken to you to do that's bigger than that. Anita, God put in her heart to go get her master's in counseling. Now, Anita could have said, God, it's been decades since I've been to school. And God, I'm 29 plus. Okay. And she did it. She did it because God put it in her heart. All right. Now, maybe God's put in your heart that he wants you to go be a business owner. And you're like, God, did you see the job I have right now? Listen, is that bigger than building a boat? I don't think so, okay? So everything looks hard, but you got to get in perspective. Compared to building that boat, just get over it, all right? God, if God put it in your heart, okay? This is actually how faith works. Faith is, God is always going to ask you to do something you can't, something you are not able to, something that is out of your ball field, something you are not knowledgeable and strong enough to do, okay? So that's what faith is. He's going to ask you to do the I can'ts. But God wants to use people that can't so that he can move through them and do something in your life. So don't have a meltdown and give God this, but God, you don't know how big this is. You don't know how long it's going to take me to go to school. Hey, compared to building that ark, you can do it, all right? You can do it with God's help. Okay, so that's what happened to Noah. Turn over to Hebrews 11, would you, please? Hebrews 11. Hallelujah. God just loves using you when you are not able, when you can't, so that he can show himself mighty in your life. Hebrews 11, everybody there? Say amen. Okay, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. All right. Who remembers, what year did we build this building? Get into it. 1993. But in about 1989, we couldn't see this building. Matter of fact, it was just way out there, all right? It was not yet seen. Okay, it was not yet seen. Anita, when did you graduate? This past year. When did you walk? Huh? December, okay. But prior to that, you know, even when God first spoke to you, it was not yet seen. It was like, what? All right. How many have ever been in our bookstore? Don't raise your hand so you don't feel bad. In our bookstore, one of our biggest publisher companies is called Harrison House. Raise your hand if you know of Harrison House. Okay. Harrison House was started by Buddy Harrison. And at this time, long time ago, when Jack and I were living in Tulsa, he was actually our pastor. But prior to that, about 50 years ago, Buddy Harrison, God put in his heart to start a Christian publishing company. And listen, that was big. That to him probably looked like the ark. The boat, okay? That was big because it was not yet seen. But faith says, I see it. And you know, what you don't know is when God put that in Buddy's heart, he was working at a burger joint. All right? Soon after that, he started working at Kenneth Hagin Ministries, but he was the tape guy. He'd make the tapes, stick them in little things, and mail them off. So when God put that in his heart, it was not yet seen, but he could see it by faith, all right? Now, why does God do something like that? Because God loves to just do big things in ordinary people that will be extraordinary with faith, all right? Let's go back to Hebrews 11, 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared. Underline that word, prepared. Prepared an ark for the saving of his household. How many of you know, to most people, the worst thing is preparing? We used to go to the beach, and it would take me all week to prepare, packing for 4 kids. And boogie boards. And you had to bring sheets. You had to bring your just tons of stuff. I hated it, all right? I didn't like that part. Most people, preparing's not fun. I said last week, how many of you know what preseason drills are all about? Preseason, before you hit the football, Friday night lights, preseasons, you do the drills. Then you work out in the weight room. Then you go back and do the drills, and you do the weights. Then you do the drills, and you do the weights. And most everybody hates it, all right? Preparation, not fun. They used to say at the college that I went to, the only lights that were on after midnight were the nurses and the engineer department. They weren't having fun, guys. They were preparing, high five, to get a degree. All right? They worked hard, and half the time it really wasn't fun. All right? So preparation. But listen, God's not going to use you if you just sit. There has to be some preparing, all right? That's that what it said, okay? By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things yet not seen, moved with godly fear, preparing an ark for the saving of his household, by which he commended the worlds and became heir of the righteous, which is according to faith. Okay, now, prepare. Prepare. Wow. Noah prepared before the rain came, right? Yeah, he was building the boat. He did a lot of preparing, all right? Now, Noah prepared, and it says he was 600 years old when the rains finally came. 600 years old when the rains finally came. What was he doing? Well, we said about 20 years he was collecting all the stuff. 100 years he was building. That's preparing. So let me ask you the question. If God's placed things in your heart, he's called you to do things, are you preparing? Are you preparing? Okay, now preparing. That looks different for everybody. But listen, it's if you just sit and say, well, someday. You know, I get really good. Now, this is not preparing. I think it's preparing, but I found that it's not. God puts things in my heart, and I love making notes. I have lists all over the place. Okay, I give you a half a point that's part preparing. But then there's more. Okay, there's more to preparing besides the list. You ought to have a list. Come over to my house. I've got lists. I got a list for tomorrow. I got a list for next week. Okay, but there's more than doing that. Now, so if God's placed something in your heart, are you preparing? Okay, are you preparing? Hebrews 11:7. Let's go back on. Go back down there. It says, "He." By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. What did God warn Noah? What did God warn Noah about? The rain, the flood. Okay, isn't that cool? Now, if you're just going to sit in your lazy boy, drink an iced tea, read the monthly prophecy club that says, oh, wow, it's going to rain. Okay? And not do any preparation, it's not going to be good, all right? Now, trivia, this little thing. What happens if Noah waited to the last 20 years to build that boat? It might have fit Noah and his dog. Right, no power tools, right? No Lowe's, okay? And if he'd waited, didn't really do what he was supposed to do, okay? But listen, God wanted his whole family and all those critters in there, right? All right? Now, so have you started to prepare in the now? Have you started preparing? I see Ashley and David back there. They're getting married. What's the date? It's on my calendar. I really do know it. June 28th. I want to tell you, preparing. Pass the list. Can you imagine Friday night? If you didn't do any of that. Okay, preparing, all right? So God wants you to start preparing. Let's just leave it at that. All right, can you hop over to Genesis with me? Can you go over to Genesis? Genesis chapter 6. This is where you're going to find the story of Noah, and I'm not going to read all of it. Just kind of have fun as afternoon leisure reading, all right? Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to read starting in verse 9. This is the account of Noah. By the way, I'm reading out of the NIV, okay? This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. He walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all these people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So, Noah, make yourself an ark. And then he gives all the how-tos, okay? Jump down to verse 22. The last verse in chapter 6, Genesis 6, verse 22. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Okay? Noah did, another version says, according to all God commanded him, so he did. You know what that simply means? Noah obeyed. Noah obeyed. You got to say that word, obey. Noah obeyed. Okay, now, what did God tell you to do? What has God placed in your heart? Okay, now, for the most part, you are probably not going to hear an audible voice that says, Miriam, go do this, okay? Most of the time, we call it the still inward voice. It's just a knowing, and it just is easier that, you know, you just do it that way, okay? Most of the time. So what has God put in you to do that maybe you're just, God, I am so afraid to even tell somebody. You're like, you haven't even told anybody. Or maybe you did tell somebody, and they have just put you down and told you you can't do that. You know, listen, you can't do that. I know that. Okay? All right? But God's put some things in your heart. Now, how many of you have family members? How many of you have big extended families? You better put your hands up. So, you know, some of these. All right? I am pretty sure Noah's family and friends didn't go, high five, Noah, ha ha, that's great. No, they gave him a hard time. I am pretty sure they gave him a hard time and told him why he can't. Better yet, Noah, you're off your rocker because we don't even have had rain. We don't even know what this rain is because the rain, the earth was watered by the dew. The moisture came up out of the ground. So he's telling them, God told me to build a boat and it's going to rain and flood the earth. Okay. I think he had a little opposition going there, a little criticism. All right. So, but listen, why did he do it? Because God told him it was going to rain. All right. When is it going to rain? 120 years from the time God told him till the first raindrop. All right. Now, matter of fact, so it says it took 120 years for Noah to build it. So 119 and 300 and some odd days, Noah is doing it. He's just doing it because God said so. He believed God. He's just doing it. He looks probably, this would have been me. Every day I would have gone out. Man, there's not even clouds in the sky. And he's out there doing it. He's out there doing it, right? Okay. And why did he do it? Because God told him. God said to him, God put it in his heart, and Noah obeyed. He was going to believe, all right? So what's God put in your heart? What are you practicing? What are you doing, all right? The very interesting thing about this is when God puts things in your heart, you just sometimes, especially Noah, 119 years, he had to just stick to it. Just stick to it. Can you imagine rolling out of bed every day, just sticking to it? All right, if God's put something in your heart that seems huge, but listen, he's going to bring it to pass. Your job is to obey and just stick to it. All right, now, just real quick, I'm doing good today on time. I'm going to give you four things just to jot down. So if you're taking notes, just four things. All right, number one, well, let me just say this. So here we have this story of Noah. Pastor, that's a cool story. He's building an ark. But how does this work in my life? I want to give you four things so you can put it in your life. How does this apply to my life? I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm trying to serve the Lord. I'm trying to walk by faith. How do I put this in my life? Okay, number one, write this down. Noah had to step out and begin to prepare for the rain. Noah had to step out and begin to prepare for the rain. So God put in your heart to start a business. Better yet, be a business owner. So you need to step out and start some preparing. And listen, I'm not a business owner, except for I do crash courses on YouTube on how to do a whole lot of things around here. All right? So maybe you have to go back to school. All right? How about this one? You're going to become a dad. All right? And you want to be the kind of dad that you read in the Bible, right? Yeah, I'm a Christian. I want to be one of those Bible dads, okay? I want to be there for my kids. I want to be this godly dad. Well, you know, your wife gave you this book about parenting, or better yet, Lamaze. I don't even know what they do anymore, okay? But, and you keep going, well, honey, that's a good book, honey. Oh, honey, I'm so glad. That's a good book, but I, you know, maybe one of these days. You have to step out and start preparing, okay? How about somebody gave you those DVDs by Jimmy Evans on Marriage on the Rock? All right? And everybody's told you, oh, man, they're really good. You should listen to them. You should watch them. And you haven't done nothing with them. And now you have Marriage on the Rocks. Okay? And even at that point, why don't you go pick them up? How about you step out and start doing some prep thing there, all right? So you can have a godly marriage, all righty? Now, so again, question, what are you doing with what God called you to do? How about God and Pastor D and God have been after you to go have a grow group, a home Bible fellowship, a small group at your house because she's on your case because of the people that you have connections with, all right? And all of a sudden, you're like, all right, Pastor D, I'll pray about it. And I said, good, I'm coming back tomorrow, and I'm going to ask you what you heard because I'm on it. So you go and you pray, and you're going, God's put it in my heart. I'm going to have a grow group at my house. Okay, that was part one, probably just to get me off your back, right? But part two is now you need to do some prep. Preparations. Like, get your Bible out. Get down in some prayer time where God's going to tell you the topic. He's going to tell you the topic. He's going to tell you the people. He's going to tell you when to start, and then you can tell Pastor D and she'll leave you alone. All right? So God put those things in your heart. How about God put in your heart? You just get around kids and I just love teaching kids. Well, that's good. But no, this is God's put this in your heart and you just really love teaching kids. Matter of fact, God's just on you to be a teacher. All right. You have to do some preparation. Nowadays, you have to go get a degree. All right. Or you can get an associate's or something like that. You have to, like Noah, he had to begin to take a step to prepare. All right. Is that pretty easy? All right. Number two. So, number two, if you're writing this down, you're going to have doubters and haters. Pastor D, that's a poor confession. Listen, anybody, if God's asked you to do something, you have run into the doubters and the haters, and they might be sitting next to you. All right? Because you said, you know, God told us we're going to do this. God's really put it in my heart. And usually it's your family. They're the ones that go, because they know you the best. But hopefully you have a spouse that's over there and encouraging you because you sat down and you communicated with them and you gave them the whole story of what God's just been building in your heart. And they're going, yeah, I'm so proud of you. You can do it. You can do it instead of, you know, beating you down. So hopefully, right? So you're going to run in to doubters and haters. And anybody who's ever done anything that God's placed in their heart runs into it. It just goes with it. Pam's sitting there shaking her head going, I can tell you a story. Yep. Okay. Number three. Here we go. The storm is coming. The storm is coming. Everybody say storm. Okay. Guys, once you finally acknowledge God, that's God. God's directing my path to start something, to do something, to believe for something. Once you do that, the storm, the problems, the obstacles, the circumstances, the storm is going to hit. It does. I would love to say it's just smooth sailing, baby. No problems. Man, just having that baby, I thought, oh my gosh, they're such cute babies. Oh, well, that was great. And then the day after you realize, oh my gosh, okay, there's lots to it, okay? And not that babies are storms, okay? Teenagers are. Teenagers are, all right. But listen, I just want to encourage you. If God put it in your heart, don't quit. Don't quit, all right? Yeah, you've had some obstacles. But listen, don't you think God has the capability to bring it around? Okay, but you're going to hit some storms. Turn over to Matthew 7. I want to talk just a little bit. I still got 10. I can do this. Okay, I can do this. Matthew 7. I want to talk a little bit about storms. All right, y'all know this scripture. Matthew 7, verse 24 to 25. Storms. All right, and then we'll finish up. Matthew 7, Jesus has just wrapped up the most incredible sermon ever, the Sermon on the Mount. Okay? And then he says this, Matthew 7, verse 24. Oh, I just love hearing Bible pages, you guys. I know you can go swish, swish on your phone, but it just makes me happy. All right. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words, underline that, words of mine, and puts them to practice, underline practice, okay, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, the wind blew, beat against the house, and it did not fall. Okay, it did not fall. Okay, why? Why? Why is it that house did not fall? Okay? Because he practiced. Okay, read verse 24 again. Read verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. It's like a wise man, blah, 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 blah. And the house didn't fall. Okay? So, your foundation's on the rock. Yeah. But you have to put it to practice. So if you're writing notes, put it to practice. Okay? Let's read verse 25 now. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had it on the foundation. All right? And I love that practice. Practice. And you know, I'm not beating you up, but can I say this? That's the problem with a lot of Christians. Not this church, though, right? It's everybody else. But that's the problem with a lot of Christians is, oh, yeah, they hear the word. They actually take notes, right? They're taking notes. But then they walk out of church and they don't put it to practice. I'm guilty, okay? I'm not just me. You guys, I've done it myself. I'm hearing this stuff, but we don't put it to practice. You know, I've been reading a lot of surveys. Surveys of why church is the way it is right now. Researchers. And one of the reasons that churches, or better yet, younger folk, that means 30 and under, I'm forever young, I'm eternal, but 30 and under, younger folk are leaving churches. You want to know why? One of the big reasons is they say church is full of hypocrites. I was like, what? So I'm reading this, I'm like, I'm going to get my hackles up here and stuff like that. They say, they've researched, they've interviewed these, and the researchers saying, younger people saying that they're leaving churches because they feel that the church is full of hypocrites because people don't do what they say. Okay? And all they're looking, they're not looking for perfect, but they say they're looking for people who practice what they preach. Actually, that's called being a doer of the word. They're not seeing it. Now that's just probably a big, okay. It is what it is, right? Amen. All right. So how does this work? How does it apply in my life? How about Pastor D says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And your husband gets his highlighter out and underlines it because he's so cool. And he writes it down. And the wife's going, oh, man, finally, he's going to get it. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Then tomorrow comes and he still treats you like snot. Okay. All right. All right. Because you have to practice it tomorrow. You have to practice it. Alrighty, you have to practice it. Let me give you another one. I had so much fun doing this. Okay, the pastor says, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor. Oh, hallelujah, Pastor D. Oh, that's so good. And you're shouting amen. That's such a good. And you might even get a little tear in your eye. Love your neighbor. I'm going to love my neighbor. You guys can't even get out of the parking lot. Not you guys, somebody other church. Some other church, they can't even get out of the parking lot without wanting to just beep the horn and wave because someone is standing in front of you blocking the way because you guys are praying for one another. Don't you know? I want to go to Olive Garden. I'm hungry. Guys, you have to practice it. Yeah. And you have to decide you're going to practice it. Well, Pastor D, I don't know a whole lot of scriptures. Well, let me tell you, sum it up in this one. Just love. You don't know the word of God yet, and I'm still don't know the word of God yet. You know, I'm still just getting it in me. But I know this one. It's the one I put it on. Is that love? No. All right. So just do that one. All right. So Jesus said, you want to build your house on the rock? Number one, you have to start hearing it. Right? Number one, it says, hear the word. Hear the word. Okay. And then guess what? Yay! Tomorrow you have an opportunity, Frank and Kathy, to love one another. Right? Tomorrow you will have an opportunity to practice it. All right? You will have a practice it. All right, let's finish reading it. Let's see, verse. La, 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 la. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them in practice. Does not put them in practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Guys, I've been around the block a lot of years, and I've seen people that I've gone on missions trip with, people that have been on, served at YCF, been on worship teams, just been here. I've seen their lives crash. Matter of fact, they don't go to church. One guy actually loves partying and even smokes pot. Yeah. All right. He used to come here. We used to be a leader here. All right. And I was like, what? And don't tell me it's for your back, yay. Get out of here. Because you don't have a prescription. Okay. Now, listen. What happened to those folks? Now, it's not true of all. But a good bunch of them. We've been around the block a few years, right? They forgot. They forgot to keep practicing the word. When the storm comes, when it gets hard, they just forgot. All right? Yeah. All right. That was such a happy sermon, Pastor D. Okay. Hallelujah. You have to keep doing what the word says, even in the storms and the hard times, even when it's rough. Even when your body doesn't want to. Yeah. Okay. You keep doing it. You keep doing it when it looks like your kids have headed for hell. You keep doing and saying, my kids serve the Lord. All right. You keep doing it, and you do it, and you stand up and you say it and you say it. So I want to tell you something. I have a son. I have four kids. My son's number two in the lineup. He's 30 something because I never know how old they are anymore because that would require doing math. And he was home yesterday. He's usually off Friday and Saturday. And he's usually in the house till about noontime, and he's gone. And Sherry was in the house, all three of us. And I'm like, you're in my space. You guys get out of here. Because I just get my head in the game on Saturday. So that's why when people say, you want to do something Saturday? No. Okay, and I try to make up really nice, but actually it's no. Very seldom, right? Very seldom I'll do it. So anyway, Jesse's floating around the house, and I can tell when he's just bored. He paces, and he's got this body language. He does this. He does something really funny. And I hear him going rack, back and forth. Back. We're at home on my carpet. And I'm in faith. I believe God's word that my son will serve the Lord. I say it all the time. I believe the anointing of God is in him, coming out of him. I believe that he hangs out with the godly, and he's doing great things for God, okay? Now, he's not doing the big three, dirty daddy, you know, like that. But anyway, he is not where he's supposed to be, and that's not good. So I confess that all the time. So Jesse's pacing around, and I'm like, the Lord says, ask him if he wants to cook. I was like, Lord, number one, he just makes eggs. Number two, he makes a big mess. Always. And doesn't clean up anything. You want to get Sherry mad? Oh, and they are still brothers and sisters, like 3 years old. Psst, psst, psst. They go at it, okay? All right, so I was like, are you kidding me? And so I said, Jesse, because Saturday, what you don't know is I cook on Saturday. In between typing and laundry, Saturday and Monday, I cook 3 or 4 meals. So I can run around all week just doing Pastor D stuff. And I do run. Sometimes I didn't get home until 8:30 one night. Just bananas, okay? So I thought, oh, gosh. So I said, okay, oh, I hear you, God. I'm going to put this to practice. I'm going to, Jesse, do you want to cook for me? And he's pacing. He stops and he goes, well, yeah. I was like, oh my gosh. I got to spend from like one till he said, I'll do it when I'm ready. I was like, he came back up an hour later and I laid out recipes and got pots out and just had great time with him. Great time. Made meet our lunch this afternoon. Jesse, plus two other meals. Okay. And then we sat down to dinner together later on that night. And, Jesse, in the past has just, he'll sit down. He forgot what his mama said. You pray before you eat. He sat down and he waited and he looked over here at me. I said, yes, Father God, we thank you for our food. We thank you for Jesse who's made this. We thank you. He's amen. I was the happiest mama. Plus, I didn't have to cook, but I do love to cook. Listen, I'm in faith, and I'm finding ways when I hear God that I have to practice it. I have to do something. Now, you can say and you can say and you can say, but when God tells you something after that, you should do it. You should do it. All right. So when he does come to church someday, don't all turn around and go, all right, you're not supposed to have any of these stories. Amen. All right. Prepare. Okay. I don't know where I am. Last one. Number four. If you're taking notes, you are writing this down. Obedience is the key to the story of Noah's. Obedience is the key to the story of Noah and the ark, the big boat. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. Now, how many of you have ever asked your child to do something? Take the trash out. Please take the trash out. Take the trash out. Will you take the trash out? Okay, now obviously I'm not doing really good. None of you have ever lost your cool with your kids because, you know, I'm just so, okay. And they take the trash out and you can hear them banging that thing all the way to the curb. Okay, were they obedient? Were they willingly doing it? No way. Okay. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best. You will have the best. And listen, God doesn't want you just to make you have to. You have to do all of this. You have to love your husband. And they have tracked in dirt and dumped everything. Okay, he wants you to be willing. Okay, willing. Everything you do, have a willing heart. Have a willing and obedient. So, Isaiah 1:19. If you are willing and obedient, the best. And I want to tell you guys, God has such best for us. I know things in the future that are the best. And I have a part to play. It starts, always starts in your heart. Okay? And then the word, and then what I say. So, hallelujah. That was number four. Let's close our eyes. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, you are so incredible. We just thank you that your love wants to take us to greatness. And your love has plans and your love has placed big things in every one of us. And for some of us, it just looks overwhelming. But Father, I thank you. You have placed them. You have the capacity and the ability to get them to this place. Our job is to be willing, to obedient, to practice, to do, to say. And Father, at the end of the road, when it all comes out, we will give you all the glory, all the praise for the great things you've done in us, through us, by speaking it, by doing it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, how many of you have greatness in you? How many of you have God's dumped stuff in you? I mean, it's been there for years and you know it. Raise your hand because I'm going to call you back later. Okay. Okay. You know it and you haven't completed it. I hope this encouraged you. God, he just wants you to jump on with him. All right. And a lot of times it's just simply doing. And then it's there, all righty? Everybody, eyes closed. Just let me ask you this question, because this is probably the most important thing ever that'll ever happen. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor D, I don't even know this God you're talking about. It sounds like wow, but wow good. If you would like to have this God, this great big God who puts things, good things and things in your life and before your life and for you and for you, if you would like him to be your God, to his the Son Jesus to be your Savior, today's the day of salvation. Today you can choose and say, Father, I want Jesus to be in my life. I want to be your child. Is there anybody here? You'd raise your hand. You'd say, Pastor D, I want that today. I don't want to live another day just listening to the story, standing on the edge and wondering. Today, I want to be in God's family, to be a child of God, to be in this great place, to have a personal relationship, to have, you know, the great thing that he does is he takes all your old and all your messed up and he makes brand new. He doesn't do a refurbished with old parts to redo. He will make you brand new, erase all of that stuff and make you new. That's our God. And he wants you. Is there anybody that say, Pastor D, please pray for me. I would love to pray for you today. I won't embarrass you. You just slip up your hand. Okay. All right, family. I see some, hold on a minute. I see two hands. Wow, hallelujah. I want to pray. Matter of fact, we're all going to pray with them, okay? Now, some people say, well, Pastor D, aren't you just going to have them come up front and stand before us? No. You can take it up with me later, all right? No. But right now, we're going to pray with these people. I saw two hands go up, and I want to pray for them. And we're going to say it with them. And what's going to happen is y'all going to invite the living God, who my brain sometimes just goes, wow, God himself will put new life in you, a new spirit. And then what he does is he says, I will take you out of the kingdom of darkness, okay? And I will put you in a new kingdom, the kingdom of light. I will put you in my family. I will write your name in heaven, and you're one of mine. So we have some people that are going to do that. Would you all just pray and just kind of repeat after me? Everybody, eyes closed. All right, how we go? How about this? Say this with me. Heavenly Father, hallelujah, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross. All right. He took my sins. He carried them away. Hallelujah. I open the doors of my heart. I let you in. Matter of fact, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior, to be my Lord. Hallelujah. To be my friend. Hallelujah. My sins are washed away. I am bound for heaven. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Let's, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. The Bible says that when someone does that, asks Jesus to be Lord of their life, there's a party going on in heaven. There's a party, okay? And I'm excited. I'm so pleased. Whoops. Okay, I'm walking here. Praise the Lord. Those people that raised their hand, I have a booklet. I'd like to talk to you. So my elders, if you go meet and greet at the front door, I'm going to be here just hanging out, okay, and just talk to these two people. You're blessed. Y'all good looking. You're blessed. Yes, you are. I'm made in the image of God. All right. Have a great week. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.